and turn again to Ephesians chapter 4. This book in the Bible is many of us perhaps one of our favorite books. I don't know if we can pick out really one that's our favorite, but Ephesians has so much in it about our Christian walk and life. In fact, as I study Ephesians, I've got a set of, I think, 6 volumes on Ephesians. If I talked to you all about all that, we'd be here till Christmas, probably. But there's wonderful truths in this book about the Lord and about how grateful God's doing in our lives. So if you turn to Ephesians 4, we're going to begin in verse 20. Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 20. This passage of Scripture, when he started in 4, he talked about how to live out what he's been sharing with us. And how we're to serve and to worship the Lord in every way that we can. I see somebody back who needs some help, I guess. We're not having children worship because Ann's ill. So let me come back to this. Let me start in verse 20, Ephesians 4. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The verses prior to this, which I dealt with last Sunday, talked about what it's like to not know Jesus, to people who are unredeemed, who he uses the word Gentiles, but it really applies to the characteristics of people who are outside Christ, being dark in understanding. They don't know God. They're ignorant of the things of God. They have a hard heart. And they have a callous heart to hear the Lord. They live in sensuality, living all ungodliness. Now, but notice what he said. But what? But. There's a but there, and I like that. But you did not learn Christ in this way. He's talking to people who have met Jesus. So if you're writing in on your notes, the first thing I want you to write in is realize Christ changed me. Realize Christ changed me. Because when he talked about these things that are part of an unbeliever's life, an ungodly life, but he makes a note, you're different. Something's happened to you. Something's come to pass in your life that transforms you. And he's saying, as he said, but you did not learn Christ in this way. So therefore, their lifestyle, their relationship is different because Jesus has changed them. When Jesus comes into our life, He makes a transformation. When Christ comes in, He changes us and then He helps us to grow in that change. So I want us to realize Christ has changed me if you're a Christian. I'm not what I used to be. Praise the Lord, I'm still not what I used to be yesterday. I'm still learning to be better in Christ. Let me read the scripture passage on your notes. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet we now know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We need to celebrate and realize this scripture says that when I come to know Christ, I've been born again, been saved, been delivered, been renewed, whatever term you want to use. That when I come to Christ, I don't live in the flesh anymore. My goal is not to live in the human side, but in the spiritual side. He said we knew Christ once as a human being, but we don't know Him that way anymore because He's gone back to heaven. So we only know Him in the spiritual realm. He says, therefore, because of what Christ has done, because we have seen Christ in the flesh and Christ has been raised and lived eternally with God the Father, been ascended to heaven, if we are in Christ, we are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Has that happened to you? I need to realize that's happened to me. If I'm a child of God, am I perfect? No. Do I live it out perfectly? No. But there's a spiritual transformation if I met Jesus that took place at the point where I began, where I received Him and began to live with Jesus. I am a changed person. And so when He said this, you didn't learn Christ in this way. He's saying, listen, God's changed you. You're not living like that anymore because Christ comes to live within you. And there's a transformation that Jesus makes inside us to make us a new creation in Christ. I like this translation. Others translate this verse differently, but I like it says, behold, all things have become new. God doesn't do a halfway job of changing us. He says, I make all things new. Think about it for a minute. Before you met Jesus, you were living life on your own. You were doing it in your humanity, in your human self. But when the day came, when you met Jesus, and Jesus became your Savior and Lord, who came to live within you? The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, the living God, came to live inside you. Now think about it. If He has come to live within you, you're not the same anymore. He is not going to come and live in you and leave you like you were before you met Him. He is going to make a change. Some of that is a growing process, I understand that. But initially there is going to be a change. You are going to face, make a different approach to life and a different relationship to life. My life, I had the privilege of knowing Jesus when I became a Christian at age 14. I hadn't been in too much junk enough. But something happened to me that night. When I sat in the second row in that church building at a revival meeting, and the Spirit of God drew me. He drew me. Something happened that night that changed the whole direction of my life from then on. Was I a perfect kid? No. Did I ever sin? Yes, more than once. But my direction for my life changed that night because Jesus came to live inside me. And my focus became different at that point from then on. I'm grateful for what Jesus did in my heart. And He changed me. I want you to remember. So I think what He's saying to us is, folks, the devil doesn't want you to know what Jesus really has done in your life. He wants you to go around with your head down and defeated because I'm a nobody and I'm a terrible sinner and I'm a whatever. When Jesus saved you, He changed you. He did make you a new creation in Christ. You are His child and you will forever be His child. And you need to recognize that and begin to live that out. Because I'm convinced if the devil can keep you down and out and thinking, oh, I'm no good, I can't do it, then he's got you defeated because he didn't want you to be a victorious Christian. God wants you to know you have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. And so I need to say, I leave here today, I'm a child of the King, I'm a new creation, and I'm proud of it. I'm going to live that way. So when he said, you're no longer that way in verse 20, that's not the way you learn Christ. Those characteristics are not characteristics of Jesus. He doesn't do those things. And so because He's in us, we don't either. Now, He talked about how that works that out. The second thing you notice is, be sure I listen to Christ. Be sure I listen to Christ. He said, if indeed you have heard Him, be sure I have heard Him. The scripture passage says, many more believe because of His word, and they were saying to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. You're familiar in this passage of scripture, the woman at the well where Jesus stopped and asked for a drink of water. He talks to her about the living water. She goes back to town and tells all the people that must be the Jesus, and they come out. Won't you notice what they said, though? To this woman. It's not because of what you said. They came because she had told them about who Jesus. But they saying, it's not just because you said it. We have what? We have heard for ourselves and we know this one is indeed the Savior of the world. We have met Him for ourselves. They had listened to Him. They had listened to what He had to say. They had observed His life. And because of that, this transformation could take place, because he said, if you have heard him. Now, how do you hear Jesus? I'm convinced the number one way I hear Jesus is when I take this word of his and I start reading and say, God, talk to me through this word. I'm grateful this book is not a dead book on the shelf, but it's a living word of God that the author of this book, the living God through the Holy Spirit, is still alive to talk to you about what he meant by what he wrote when you read it and understand it. And I want to listen to what God says. I want to have an open ear to say, okay, God, what do you want me to get out of this word today? What do you want me to get? I'm listening. Paying attention. I also believe that as a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit of God will bring truth to your mind. He will cause you to understand things you didn't know before. He will cause you, as you read through these scripture passages, and you say, well, I don't understand that. But then you read them through again, and all of a sudden it seems like, oh, you get an insight. That's God's Holy Spirit showing you the truth from the author of the book to let you know. And I want to listen to what he said. Sometimes I get insights from other people who share. It's one of the reasons I encourage people to be in a Bible study group. People share truths and understanding you didn't get before. But I want to listen to Jesus. I'm convinced Jesus still talks to people. Not audibly, although some have said they heard audibly. I never have, but I know he talks, because in your spirit and your soul, you know somebody's talking to you beside yourself, and it's God, because it's true. Now, if it's true to the Word, it's from God. If it's something outside this Word, it isn't from God. I don't care what you hear. You need to check it out with the Scripture always. But he said, you have listened to Jesus. I want to have a heart with an antenna that can pick up Jesus real easy. One of the problems we have sometimes living in this area is, if you want to listen to certain radio stations, you've got to have certain kinds of antenna that will pick it up. Well, I want to have that kind of antenna that when Jesus is talking, I'm tuned in and I get it right away. He's talking to me through His Word. So he said, be sure, if indeed you have heard Him, have you heard Him? Do you know in your life that you've heard from God? That His Spirit has been speaking to you. And as you read the Word, He's given you insights and understanding. So because of this new relation, this transformation relationship, He said, if indeed you have heard Him. The Lord help me hear you all the time. Now, can we block the signal? The Scripture says in the passage in the Old Testament, if I sin against God, I'll not hear Him. So if I'm not hearing God, it's not because He ain't talking. It's because I need to clean up my antenna and get the garbage out of my life and say, Lord, change it so I can hear You again. Either, it don't mean I'm always in gross sin, by the way. It may mean He's been talking to me, saying, I want you to do this. And you've been saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And you've blocked the signal. And you say, okay, Lord, let's do this so I can hear You. Folks, I don't want to ever be where I can't hear from God. Be sure I listen. Also, he said, in that passage of Scripture, because you have been taught in Him just as truth is in Jesus. Well, we teach. We've been taught in Him. We do learn through Bible studies. We do learn through worship. We do learn through preaching. But does Jesus teach you directly? I believe He does. It's open, as I've already mentioned, to the Scriptures. I want to be sure that I'm getting to know Him. That's what, if you're writing in on your notes, that next thing is, keep getting to know Christ. Keep getting to know Christ. I've been taught in Him. And folks, when people talk to you about Jesus, you better be sure they're talking about the real Jesus. Because there are people today who say, well, Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. Oh, Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin. You don't really have to know Jesus to go to heaven. Folks, that's false Jesus. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. So I want to get to know Him, who He is. Keep getting to know Christ. I like this passage about knowing Christ in Philippians. Some of the rest of you probably enjoy it as well. Let me read it. It's got several verses here, but it conveys what I'm thinking. But whatever things are gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. This passage to me, he's saying, I want to know Jesus. He said, I count everything but as loss or no good or no value. This translation says, I count everything but rubbish. You know what some translation put there? They put manure. Because that's what he's talking about. He said, everything else I've got is like garbage compared to knowing Jesus. Now let me ask you, is that true of my heart and is that true of your heart? Do I really, really, really count knowing and meeting Jesus, living for Jesus, understanding Jesus as more valuable than anything else? Sometimes other things get in the way and I don't like it. So I have to ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. So as he talked about in this verse, I've been taught in Jesus. I want to know Jesus. He said that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Now, when we read that part about, I want to know Him, the power of His resurrection, I like the resurrection part. But that other part, being fellowship of His sufferings, I think I like to avoid those. What does that mean? When I'm walking with Jesus, there may be some places where I have to stand up for Him and it may cost me something. I want to be so attached to Jesus that if it costs me something, it's okay. If I stand up for what's right and true, what God says in His Word, and I suffer for it, I'm in fellowship with the One who died for me on the cross anyway, and I'm in fellowship with His sufferings. And then He also said being conformed to His death. That means dying to self and to self-rule. I don't know, is that easy? I don't think it is. We need to ask God, I find, put this flesh to death. Put this to death. Put this to death. And raise up the resurrected Christ that's talked about in me. But I want to keep knowing Him. Now, how am I going to know Him? Well, I think in order to know Him, I need to be with Him. Now, I know He's not literally here, but I want to spend time where He is. So what can I do? If I get on my knees or kneel or stand, however you pray, is that being with Jesus? Is that time to just let Him talk to us? Now, if I'm hurt and say, thank you, Lord, for today, I've got to go by, I might not get aware of Him. But I want to spend some time with Him. In a human level, how do you know people? You know them when you spend time with them. In my life, the person who knows me the best is my wife, because I spend more time with her. With her than anybody else. She knows it better than anybody else. But why we spend time together. I want to spend enough time with Jesus in prayer and in this book that I get to really know who Jesus is. Do any of us know Him to the level we can know Him? Is there room for me to get to know and understand a little bit more about Jesus than I know today? Because none of us have gotten there yet in this world. So I want to be with Him. But also I want to be doing what He said. See, I get to know Him when I'm walking with Him doing what He told me to do. Because when I do what He tells me to do, does He leave me to do it all on my own? If I set out to do what I understand He wants me to do, is He there with me helping me do what I'm doing? Yes. Do you learn anything about ever working on a project with somebody else? Building a house or a barn or raking leaves, or and you're doing it together. You get to, because you're doing it together. And so I want to be involved in that kind of doing what He said and walking with Him. I just want to worship Him. Do you meet Jesus when you gather like this for worship? Do you get to know Him when you share together in the Word and the Bible study and the worship time, and you just sense His presence, and you just get to know Him a little bit better, understand Him a little bit more? Yeah. So I want to get to know Him. I want to be taught by Jesus, about Jesus. On the other side of your notes, it said there's a whole lot in these scripture passages. Believe the truth that is in Jesus. He said in 21, he said, I've been taught in Jesus just as truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. The passage I've listed in John 14 you're familiar with, when Jesus was talking about going to prepare a place for us and he would come back and get us. But Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus said, I am truth. I'm truth. Everything in this book is true. I don't care what a teacher says. I don't care what a scientist says. I don't care what some other group says. This book is true. And when it's all said and done, folks, and this world is over, you're going to find out every word of this book is true. I need to anchor my life in this truth and absorb it into my life, into my heart, so it's a part of me, because I'm living in truth when I live in what this book says. And I need to be about the truth that's in Jesus. I'm not saying other things aren't true. There are things that are true beside that. You know, the world's round and all those kind of things. But the truth that's important is this truth. The truth that's going to take us forever is this truth. It's in Jesus. He is the true one. Everything that this book tells us about Jesus is true. Doesn't matter if you can explain it or not. Doesn't matter if it isn't scientifically proven. This book is true. And as I said, you're going to find out it's true sooner or later. I hope it's sooner than later. Because the Bible says every knee's going to bow and every tongue going to confess that He's Lord. And they're going to find out that it is true too late. And I don't want to be there. I want to find it out now. Now, how do I know that I believe it's true? How do I know that I believe it's true? I tell you I believe it's true. How do I really know that I really believe it's true? I know that I believe it's true when I do what I know is true. I can tell you I believe it's true, but until I've put it into practice, I don't believe it. I know it up here, but I don't really believe it. So when I say I want to believe the truth that is in Jesus, it means, Lord, I want to begin to do it. I'm not saying we're not doing things we ought to be doing. It just means there may be some other things that He wants us to do or do what we're doing better. None of us have arrived yet, right? There's still a lot of room to grow and develop. But the truth is in Jesus. And folks, I'm going to anchor my life in this truth because I can count on it. It will always be true, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where. This is truth, and I'll put it into practice. Well, along with that, as I live this transformed life, the next area that he talks about is refuse the old self. He didn't phrase it that way, but he said in verse 22, the Scripture says, but in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Your former life, what you were before you met Jesus, that old self, he said, is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Do you get that? As long as you're living without Jesus, you're living in destruction and corruption. I don't care how good a moral person you are or anything else. The old self. But when Jesus comes in, he doesn't clean up the old self. He didn't give it a good washing. The Bible says he removes it and makes it a new creation in Christ, which I talked about earlier. So I have a new self. And I'm going to refuse the old self. Now, I realize I live in a fleshly body. We're still subject to temptations in the flesh. But I don't have to give in to them. I can learn more and more to quit giving in to stuff I was giving in to. Scripture passage says, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech for your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with his evil practices. How do I do that? What I think of is this. Maybe I've had trouble with the way I talk, the language that I'm using. And even after I become a believer, I say some words or like I ought not to. But that's old self, right? So I say, Lord, remove that old self. Change my language so that I can talk better, more pleasing to you. And you ask him, change it. I'm going to put that off. I'm going to ask God to help me be more alert to when I start talking. I'm more conscious of what I'm saying so I don't use the language I once did. Because sometimes people who use language don't realize they're doing it. They get in such a habit. Or it could be true of other things besides language. But I know God can change it. Still remember a friend of mine, the last church I pastored, when he got saved, he was involved in carpentry. And he had this trouble after he became a Christian that he was, every once in a while, he would be on the roof or whatever doing stuff, and he'd say some words he ought not to say. And he began to pray that God would take that away. God would change that. That old self, he'd put it off. He said, I was on top of the roof one day, nailing on shingles, and it dawned on me. I hadn't said a curse word in quite a while. He said, I stood up and shouted. He said, all the people around me looked at me like I was weird, but he realized Jesus had taken that old man away from him, and he no longer was using that language. That's true not only of language, but of other things we do, whatever area it is. I don't get rid of it. I would like to say it's gone without that, but I have to say, God, I resist this. Take it out of my life. I'm not going to do that. Maybe it's what I've been reading, so I change what I'm reading, so I don't have that old self anymore. Maybe it's what I'm listening to. I say, I don't want the old self. I'm going to put that off. Is that a part of our cooperation with the new life in Christ? We put it off. We choose. God doesn't say, I'm going to make you. He just says, when you realize who you are in Jesus, in your new creation, you choose, wait a minute, that don't fit, so I want that out of my life. I'm going to put that out. And I think we learn more and more to get rid of stuff, the old self, because I had the privilege of coming to know Christ when I was 14. Some of you had the privilege of coming to Christ when you were 4 or 5 years young. Some of you didn't come to know Jesus until you're 40, 50, 60 years old, maybe. And you've got some patterns and some things in your background that still wants to come up. And when it does, you need to say, wait a minute, no, that's not who I am. I'm not going to go there anymore. Take that out of my life. I'm going to change that. And ask God to help you. He'll help you do it. You don't do it on your own. But I'm going to say, I lay aside the old self. I'm just not going there anymore. And you ask God, when you do slip up, to ask Him to forgive you and say, okay, let's start afresh. Aren't you glad He didn't say, okay, you messed up, you're out of luck, you're over? No. He said, okay, now let's get this again. Let's get rid of this. And He wants to put aside the old self. Now, if I put aside the old self, I'll talk about the new self in a minute. But what helps me do that? The next thing is, being renewed in my mind. He said in verse 23, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How much does our mind control us? When we talk about our mind or spirit, our thinking has a great deal of influence on who we are and what we do. But I want you to notice, I put a word in there on purpose. Being renewed. I'd like to get it all at once and get it over with. But don't you find you have to continue to renew? You discover things that you need to change. You discover that you ask God to continue to change me in the spirit of my mind. The Bible says somewhere something like this, as a person thinks in his heart, So is he. Out of the heart comes things that are good, and out of the heart comes things that are bad. And we think about the heart, we think of our mind, the way we think. So I want to be renewed in my thinking, in my mind. I'm not talking about being renewed in my mind. One of the things I want to learn to do is to learn to remember and to go back and remember who I am. Am I a new creation in Christ? Have I been forgiven? Have I been redeemed? Has my sins been washed away? Am I a child of God? And I began to let this flow in my mind. When I realized who I am, I realized, wait a minute, this is the way I ought to behave because this is who I am. It's not because I have to from out here. It's because I want to in here, and I realize this is what my mind needs to be renewed. So, in a way, it's just changed the way I think about things. And again, I need to come back to the Word, I need to come back to prayer. One of the Scriptures says, I want to ask Jesus to bring every thought captive to Christ. So that everything I'm thinking about is focused on Him. Focused on Him. So that means I want to be careful what I read, because what I read is going to affect what I think. I don't mean you have to read the Bible all the time. Well, that's a pretty good deal. But I want to read material, Christian material, whatever it's going to give me, feed my mind with truth. Or, what am I watching? It's what I'm watching on TV or on my iPads or phones or whatever today. Is it really honoring Jesus or is it leading me away from Jesus? And each of us have to evaluate that. But if I watch things that are point me to the truth of God and the holiness of God, my mind's being moved in the right direction and I'm thinking better. What I think about, what I meditate on. One of the hardest things that most of us have to do is memorize Scripture. But you know, all of us probably could benefit from memorizing Scripture because it would help us to think on things that belong to God. Our mind to be renewed. Because God's Word, when I put it in my mind, can renew my thinking and can help me to think more clearly. So I want Him to do that. Being renewed. I want to keep on feeding that mind, that spirit. So He's talked about be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Scripture I've listed on your notes says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We present our lives, our bodies to Him. And say, Lord, I want you to renew my mind. Transform it. But He transformed it through His Word. He transformed it through His Spirit. He transformed it as we learn and practice and think about who we are in Jesus. So I want that renewal to be taking place all the time. Someone commented before, and I've mentioned it before, but I like it. I want God to be renewing my mind so that when I leave this world and get to be with Jesus, I'm going to be perfect. When God said, I want it to happen along the way, so it's not such a drastic change at the end. I want this to be renewed now. The last thing He said, put on the new self. Put on the new self. Begin to live in the new life. The passage I read earlier in Colossians about put aside all those things with evil practices and so on continues by saying, and you have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The new self. The new self. So what's our goal? What's our standard by which I measure my lifestyle? What am I going to use as a way of knowing, okay, how well am I doing? Am I making any progress or not? Or am I just staying here or am I slipping? What standard am I going to use? I want to suggest the standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. And ask myself, am I acting more like Jesus? Am I thinking more like Jesus? Am I loving more like Jesus? Am I praising more like Jesus? Am I living more like Jesus? He's the standard. Because I find that otherwise I can do pretty good. Because I can pick out somebody that I know and say, look at old so-and-so. They're not doing very good. I'm doing better than they are, so I've got to be okay. In fact, the Scripture says we measure ourselves by ourselves. We're foolish. But He's the standard. So I want to put on the new. God, help me to live this way. Help me to be more like Jesus. To be more kind, more loving, more patient, more forgiving, more understanding. I mean, you can go on and on and on. If you really want to know what it's like, you go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see how Jesus behaved. And say, God, how am I doing those things? You put those on. So I want to become more like God. Become more like God. That's the next to last outline blank. Become more like Him. More like Him. This song says, more like the Master I would ever be. More like the Master. God, help us. Help me to become more like Him. Is that a better life or not? The more I become like Him, the more I think like Him, love like Him, care about Him, devote to Him, it's a better quality of life. It really is. The devil doesn't want you to think so, but it is. The last part of that passage says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness, holiness, and truth. So I want to live in righteousness, holiness, and truth. So we ask ourselves, is this conduct that I'm doing righteous? Is it holy? We don't hear much about holy, but in other words, pure and truth. Is it true to the Word? Is it true to God says? Put on those things that point me that way. In fact, today, if you talk about purity, what do you get in the culture in general? If you talk about being pure, what are you called? Prude? Out of touch? You don't know what you're talking about. But is purity still okay? Is holiness still okay? Is holiness still a good life? Yeah. Because you live holy, you don't have to regret it later. You don't have to go straighten up what you messed up to start with. And so I'm saying, God, help me to measure my life. Is this activity, is this place I'm going, this thought that I'm having, this book that I'm reading, this TV that I'm watching, this relationship I've got, is it holy or not? Is it honoring God or not? I still think the motto is out several years ago now, WWJD. Some of you remember that? What would Jesus do? It's still a good thing to think about. Would Jesus be doing what I'm doing? Now, sometimes we don't ask that because we don't want the answer. Because we know in our heart, if we ask it honestly, it means he's saying, no, you can't do that anymore. But it's a good policy. To live in holiness and righteousness and truth. Rightness. Righteousness means right. Right according to God's standards. Right according to God's approval. And so, aren't you glad you can live a transformed life? Aren't you glad that these things can be true in your life as you walk with Jesus? You're not what you once were. But, he said, you didn't learn Christ in that way. This is the way you learned Jesus. And that's a quality life. So, I want to be sharing this. Other people, they can have this too if they come to Jesus. So, I get to live a transformed life now. And then I get to live it forever with Him in eternity. That's good stuff. So let me ask you, who are you with Jesus? Are you learning from Him? Are you hearing from Him? Are you spending time with Him? Are you getting to know Him better? Are you listening to Him? Are you practicing the fact that I'm a changed person? I'm a new creation. I'm going to live that way. That means it affects everything else in my life. If you don't know Jesus, my prayer today, you'll say, Jesus, I need You. I need You to change me from the inside out. I've tried all this stuff. But I need You to come inside me and make me a new creation in Christ. Because He will. And you really desire a holy change. God will change you so fast you don't even know what happened when you commit your life to Him and say, Jesus, do it. The night I talked about, I don't remember all that took place, but something happened to me that night when I said yes to Jesus. And He can come in your life. How He comes in your life will be different than anybody else. But He's promised to do it. You'll open your heart and say, Jesus, I need You. I want You. I'm tired of living without You and all the sin that goes with that. I want that transformation. And then to learn to live more transformed all the time. Let's bow together. Lord, I thank You that You know us and You know my heart and You know where I need to change. You know where every person in this building needs to change to conform to the likeness of Jesus. Lord, help us to offer ourselves afresh today and say, God, here You can have this part, this area, this thought, this activity, this habit, whatever it is, and say, Jesus, change it for Your glory. And Lord, if there's one person in this room or more who has never been born again, I pray that today will be the day when they understand by the power of Your Spirit that Jesus is their hope. Jesus will forgive them of their sins. Jesus will change them. Jesus will help them begin a life that's valuable and meaningful. Have Your way. Lord, help each of us as You search us. You know those places that habits that may need to be changed, or lifestyles, or attitudes, whatever. Lord, we want to be living out the transformed life You've given us in Jesus. So we commit these moments to You, believing You to speak to us. And we're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In our own heart. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Pastor Ryan.